Waiting on God. How do you like to wait? Yeah, I hate to wait. I hate to wait at the Department of Motor Vehicles. You know, you walk in there and they give you a number and you look and you're about 30 numbers down. Now you can do it online and I guess that saves you time. I hate to wait. I hate to wait. When I go to the grocery store, go to Meijer, I always try to figure out which is the fastest lane based on how many people are in there and how many items they have in their cart. And I pick that aisle, and it's always the last one. It seems like it is. Seems like it's going to go that long. I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait for vacation. I don't like to wait for days off. I anticipate things, and I just don't like to wait. And I think that's part of it. I think a lot of us, we fight patience. We should have patience. We should just enjoy the waiting, enjoy the time in between. Because sometimes, if we're not careful, the time in between can be just as rewarding, can have just as many good things as the actual experience of what we're waiting for. We're going to look at a story here in the Bible, Luke chapter 2. You know, Luke is a great biographer of Jesus, but in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, he's telling stories that we don't find anywhere else in the gospel stories. And he picked only three events in the life of Jesus before the age of 30. And the story we're going to read today, we might bypass it. In other words, sometimes I wonder, I would have picked maybe a different experience of Jesus, but evidently God and Luke thought that it was worthwhile to look and see this. And we're going to discover some lessons about waiting, and we're going to learn some really good lessons about what happens when we wait. Mary and Joseph, Jesus has been born, and Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus into the temple, and Jesus is going to meet some people. He's going to meet Moses through the law. He's going to meet Simeon, a man who God had promised that he would see the Redeemer before he died, and another old, old woman, Anna, and she continued to hope, in spite of all she had been through, that God would send a Redeemer, and all that came true. They all had to wait for something to happen. So if you'll open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we're going to actually begin reading in verse 21. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, and we'll go down to verse 39, and we have it on video, a narration of that. So if you'd like to read it in your Bible, if you'd like to watch it, if you'd like to listen to it, we'll listen to this. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 21.
It's cold unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought him the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the Lord of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth.
All right. This is just one brief moment in the life of Jesus. And when they brought him into the temple, some things happened. They met Moses. Moses had been dead, but Moses had written in the law of God. And there's some ceremonies that I think we need to understand of what happened. Customs after a child is born, what the Jews did. On the eighth day, a young boy was circumcised, which identified him with the nation of Israel, separated him from the Gentiles, and acknowledged that he was a part of God's family. So on the eighth day, a lot of times it was a home ceremony or possibly in another place, but then they had what is called the redemption of the firstborn. The Bible, the law, commanded that when the first son was born, he belonged to God. And you had to bring a price. You had to pay a redemption price to, I guess, what would be considered buy back that child and redeem that child. So they had to bring some money to be able to redeem that child. And then there was also the purification of the mother. For health reasons and many other reasons, after the birth of a child, a mother was to separate herself. She wasn't able to go to the temple for, I think it was 40 days after a son and 80 days after a girl. And so after the time of her separation, they came to the temple and they brought a redemption price for Jesus, the firstborn son, and they brought a sin sacrifice of 2 turtle doves before the purification of Mary. And I just think it's interesting is Mary and Joseph had to redeem the Redeemer, Jesus. And Mary had to pay a sin and make a sin sacrifice, and she held in her arms the sacrifice of God. But there's a lesson that we can learn from all of this and what they did in this little section of going through these ceremonies that the law had required, and that is this: obedience is a choice. Mary and Joseph, in spite of the difficulty, in spite of the struggle, in spite of their poverty, we know they were impoverished because they sacrificed 2 turtle doves, which was the sacrifice of a poor family. They had very little, but they still continued to obey God. If you'll notice, and I'll just read that beginning in verse 22. It says, they did this according to the law of Moses. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Verse 24, that which is said in the law of the Lord. And then all the way down in verse 39 as a summary, it says, when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. They made sure that they obeyed God's law. And that's important for all of us. All of us should be concerned about whether we're obeying God. Obedience, that is a key part of our life. Even though our sins are forgiven, even though we know that we're on our way to heaven, we still identify as a follower of Jesus because of our obedience. And obedience can be difficult. Obedience can be hard, whether it's the law of God or whether it's the law of man. It's a choice. We have a choice whether or not we're going to choose to obey God, to do what he says and to not do what he says not to do. But here's the deal that I've discovered. Obedience is a choice, but the consequences are not a choice. I can choose to run the speed limit, or I can choose to run over the speed limit, but the consequences of that choice are not in my hands anymore. And so you can choose to obey God, and you can choose to disobey God. You can choose to do what he says, and you can choose not to, but the consequences of that are not under your hands. Once you choose, the choice and the consequence has been made. So the application is obey what God says. It may be difficult. I mean, think about this. They didn't have much. They had Jesus in their arms. If there was anybody that could have said, you know what, I don't have to obey these silly little laws that are in the Old Testament. But you know what? They did. They obeyed the Jewish laws as good Jews did. So that's the first lesson that we found when we met Moses. The second thing is when they met Simeon. Simeon is a great, great person. I don't know how, but somehow he had been promised that he would not die until he had seen the Christ. Now, at that time, they didn't know that Christ would be a baby. But I think it's interesting when you look at this, three times it talks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost told him that he wouldn't die. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then on that particular day, the Holy Ghost led him to go into the temple at that particular time. And when he got there, he recognized this is the Christ. This is what I've been waiting for. And then he did something. He pronounced a praise and he pronounced a prophecy. He just praised God for what he had seen. You know, when you're waiting for something and you finally get it, you just have to thank God, and that's what he was doing. And he did that in front of Mary and Joseph. And then as he held baby Jesus, it says he looked at Mary. He said this specifically to Mary, and he made a prophecy about this little bitty baby that was probably only maybe a few weeks old. He says, this child is going to be the fall of many. There are going to be very, very many people that are going to fall because of him. He's also going to be the rise of many. There are going to be many people that are going to choose to follow him, and they're going to rise. And there's going to be some confrontation because of him. So he prophesied really the ministry of Jesus. Some people are going to fall, some people are going to rise, and some people are going to confront. But then he told Mary, he said, and even a sword is going to pierce your soul. Mary went through heartache. Mary is the only human being that saw both the birth and death of Jesus. She was there at the beginning, which is obvious as a mother, but she was there when she saw her son crucified. She knew who he was. Angel Gabriel told her who this was. It wasn't just a normal baby, it was God's son. And she saw him go through the trial, saw him go through the crucifixion, and she saw him die, and she went through that. But we're getting back to the story of Simeon. Simeon had been promised something, and he had to wait for it. And that's the lesson that we can learn from Simeon, and that is that waiting, patience, is a virtue. We often have to wait for things, and that's a good thing. We should realize that the best things in life are worth waiting for, but we live in such an instant society. And now with technology and now with Wi-Fi, we want it right now. We want answers right now. We want all of our objections solved. We want everything immediately. But that doesn't happen. Sometimes we have to learn patience. We have to learn to wait a while. Take your time. It'll be okay. Don't rush it. Young people want to have sex before marriage. We want to buy something before we have the money to pay for it. We want to post something on Facebook before we have all the facts. You know, we want something right now, but you know what? The best things in life are worth waiting for. And so learn to have patience. And there is some beauty in having to wait for something, to smell the aroma of a food that is home cooked. Yeah, you could go to a fast food, but to have it slow cooked in the crock pot all day and to smell that and what that is like. Some of you, how do you have dinner on the crock pot right now? Does anybody have it? Yeah. Isn't it good when you walk into the house and it's been cooking all day and it's everywhere and you can smell it? It just whets your appetite to have that. And some of you are probably getting hungry right about now just thinking of that. But sometimes we just need to wait. Patience is a virtue. And though nobody wants to wait, we are so impatient with people. We're so impatient with our children, with our families. We just need to learn to be patient a little bit. And then Anna is my favorite. Anna was an old woman. Let's just face it. It says that she says a few things about her. She had been widowed soon after she was married. The way the wording is, it seems like she'd been married for about 7 years and her husband passed away. And then it's kind of hard to figure it out. Either she was 84 years old or she had been a widow for 84 years. Now, if she had been a widow for 84 years, had been married for 7 years, and she got married when she was a young, maybe older teenager, this would put this lady well over 100 years old. So at the very least, she was 84 years old, or she could have been 100 years old, and she had seen hard times. She had been alone all by herself. But she didn't let her old age and the trouble she had gone through disappoint her. She still hoped. She hoped for the consolation of Israel. She hoped for the redemption of Israel. She didn't have the promise that Simeon had, but she had hope. And I've discovered this. I've discovered that as we get older, we either get mean and nasty and cranky, or we get sweet and nice and kind. Very few in between. We either let the stuff we've gone through and the disappointments and the hurts and the pains and the problems make us a bitter old person, and everybody knows it. Or we look forward to something better. Today was a bad day, but you know what? Tomorrow could be even better. You know what? I've had some rough times, but you know what? It could be better. And Anna chose not to let the bad things that had happened to her affect today. Here's the problem that I found out in my life. If I'm not careful, I will let the things that happened to me bad in the past continue to bother me today. And then they will continue to bother me in the future. Let the past be the past and have hope in the future. And that's what she did. And that's the lesson I get from Anna. Hope is an anchor. You know what an anchor does in a boat? What an anchor does is it goes down and the storms will come and the storms will blow, but the anchor holds the boat in the storm. An anchor doesn't remove the boat out of the storm. It just keeps the boat from shifting away and getting loose and crashing into the side. And that's what Jesus does for us. That's what God does for us. Most of the time, he doesn't pull us out of the storms of life, but he gives us hope through the storms. It's going to be better. It's going to be okay. I'm going to make it. God is with me. He's going to help me get through this. And so the lessons that we find out here is they brought Jesus in, and Jesus is the one that was the center of this, and that is obedience is a choice. Some things we don't have a choice in, but whether we're going to obey God or disobey God, that's the choice that we have. Patience is a virtue. Patience, temperance, self-control, long-suffering, knowing that we're going to go through some things and just have patience for it. And then hope is an anchor. Jesus gives us that hope. One final story. There was a Polynesian slave girl that had been picked up and brought into New Orleans in the slave market during the Civil War. And she was shackled and she was up for bid. A plantation owner who just happened to be coming through the area kind of noticed what was going on, sized up the situation of this beautiful young Polynesian slave girl, and decided that he would put his money into the bidding. The bidding started to go into the hundreds of dollars, and then it started to go into the thousands of dollars. And as it went into there, the prostitution syndicate that was in New Orleans at that time got really ticked because this plantation owner was outbidding them. And it got higher and higher to the point where they said, you know what, we can't financially get our money back on her, we're out. So the plantation owner bought her, went over, signed the paperwork, got the keys to her shackles, and as he went down, as he walked toward her, she looked at him and spit in his face, knowing what was going to happen to her in the future. And as he bent down to unshackle her shackles, she began to kick at him and curse at him. And quietly, gently, he just removed the shackles, and he just looked at her, and he said, "You're free to go. I bought your freedom." And she just stared at him and looked at him, and then he began to walk away to go back on his horse and take off. And as he began to go away, she screamed after him. She says, "Wait, wait, wait." She says, "Can I be your slave? Can I be your servant?" And he looked down at her and stopped the carriage, and he says, "No." He says, "That's impossible. You can't be my slave. You're free." And she began to be dejected, and she turned around, and he just gently said to her, "But you can be my adopted daughter." So that's what Jesus has done for us. When we were a slave to sin, when we were a slave to our passions, when we were a servant to things that have hurt us, Jesus bought us. He paid the ultimate price with the death of himself on the cross, and he set us free. And now we have a choice. We can't be a slave anymore, but we can be his servant, and we can be his child. We can be God's child. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, I want you to know Jesus will set you free if you come to him. It's as simple, I say this, as simple as ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner. Now that's pretty easy for me to do, to admit where I have done wrong. Over and over, I've sinned. B is believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus Christ came to this world, he died on a cross, he rose again to prove that he was God's son, and I believe in Jesus, but that's not enough. The Bible says even the devil believes in Jesus. He believes the truth about Jesus. But the C is commit my life to Jesus. Here I am, Jesus. I surrender my life to you. If you will admit you're a sinner, if you will believe in Jesus Christ, and if you will commit your life to Jesus Christ, he will receive you as his child. He will receive you as part of the family. Let's bow our heads just for a few moments. I don't know what you're wrestling with today. Maybe it is something in the area of obedience. Maybe you've been waiting for something and it just hasn't come and you've been so disappointed in God for having to wait. Or maybe you just have lost hope. Life has been so hard on you that it's hard to look forward to the future because the past has been so bad. If you've never trusted Jesus, today is a great day to do that. And if you have trusted Jesus, He's there. Hang on to him. You may have to wait, but I guarantee this, if God has you waiting for something, it's because he has something better for you that's waiting for you. In a few moments, Barb's going to play through a song, and I would invite you just to come and just to pray. If you want to just come, I'll be down here in the front. We can talk, or we can pray together, or if you just want to spend a little bit of quiet time with God, I invite you to do that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and grace to us. We thank you for this glimpse into the life of baby Jesus and how we see what happened surrounding him. He changed people's lives even before he could talk. We thank you that he is our hope. We thank you that he is what we have been waiting for in our life. And we pray, Father, that each of us would surrender our lives to him. He loved us when we were unlovely, when we didn't want him, Jesus wanted us. So I pray, Father, for those who don't know Jesus as their Savior, that today would be the day that they surrendered their life to him. We pray this in his name. Amen.